Okay, so it was the Mill Road Winter Fair yesterday, so that means it is now officially Christmas.
It is
in
officially
Cambridge.
Christmas, yes.
I still feel it might be a little bit too early to play a Christmas song, but what we will do, now that we've been joined in the studio by Pina of 1-2 Culinary Stew. Good morning to you, Pina.
Good morning.
We are talking Christmas lunch on Christmas Day itself and where we can go in Cambridge if you just can't handle it at home this year.
If your turkey won't fit into the oven.
If it's all gone wrong, not enough seats around the table, where can you go?
Or you
town?
Just want to avoid the relatives.
There's that as well, I suppose.
Yeah.
That
is fortunately,
that is not a problem I have, I'm pleased to report.
No, me neither. Quick, get those little T's and C's in. Right, good morning.
Good
morning. Thank you for coming in this morning. So you've been doing some research for us. Right, let's put ourselves in that place where the oven's broken, the kitchen's not in a good place. We're eating out for Christmas Day lunch on Christmas Day. Top three places you've got for us.
Yes, it's actually not a lot of places that are opened on Christmas Day because a lot of people, either it's an independent, so they're having Christmas at home or their staff is off. So a lot of the places are hospitality-based, so hotels. So one of the places is the Varsity Hotel and Spa.
Beautiful.
Which is an independent.
Yep. That's the one by the river.
Yes.
And it's the sixth restaurant. Nice up on the sixth. Oh, I think it's the sixth floor,
it's
actually.
It's on the sixth floor. They actually do have a rooftop bar as well, but that's closed during the winter. But the sixth restaurant is a really lovely place. You've got, you know, 360 degree views over the Cambridge, so it's nice. And they have a Christmas Day menu. It's £89 per person, children £29. Things like all your Christmas favorites, like smoked salmon starter, Maine roast turkey ballantine, pork belly, beef, salmon. There's vegetarian options as well. Dessert, there's a chocolate Yule log, which sounds really nice. And a steamed Christmas pudding with brandy sauce. So kind of, you know, a bit.
So that's really ticking all the traditional boxes
isn't it? Yeah.
Nice. That's £89. That's the thing with these menus. You do pay a lot more than you normally would.
Yeah, there's definitely a premium because,
makes sense.
You're not stressed out over Christmas. You're not cleaning up anything. You're just enjoying probably with a group or just yourself. So, same thing New Year's Eve as well.
Yeah. Nice. So that's Varsity doing the very traditional Christmas lunch, if you should go for that. Then you've also got the Hotel Felix, which is the one which you take from Histon Road, isn't it? Going towards Girton.
Yeah, just past Castle Hill.
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah. Okay, I've never been there, actually. Have you been to the Hotel Felix?
I have
Felix?
Stayed at the hotel when I was actually looking for property in Cambridge. That was the hotel that we stayed at. It's very, very nice, actually, and they have a very nice restaurant. And they have a Christmas Day lunch, and they also have a accommodations package, so you can make a whole sort of little trip out of it with a really reasonable rate for bed and breakfast. I think it's £75 or something, which for Cambridge is...
Not bad at all.
So if you combine that with your Christmas Day lunch, that one, again, is £89 per person, £25 for kids 12 years and under. And again, a quick look at the menu, hot smoked salmon mousse, roast Norfolk bronze turkey, a sea bass, a beef fillet, and a traditional Christmas pudding with brandy butter and rum sauce. So again, very sort of nice, comforting Christmassy food, hassle-free.
Very traditional. Good, good. And then... you've gone to Histon. This is the Boot. Now, this is the one which is, who's the chef, the French chef?
It's Chef Raymond Blanc.
It's part of his
chain of pubs under the White Brasserie name.
Yes.
And they're sort of gastropubs, high-end gastropubs. But they're not too formal. They've got a nice little pub drinking area as well.
Yeah.
The menu's really nice, sort of French influence, but really, really nice. And it's a really lovely place.
It is.
And I think the advantage of that is because it's a chain, you can get that pub atmosphere, and they can be open at Christmas, obviously, because they are doing a Christmas Day menu as well. A bit more expensive, £95 per person, six courses. Kids age 12 and under, £40 per person.
Right. Now, he's doing something a little bit different at the Boot.
Yeah, it's just a bit more gourmet-ish, isn't it? Yeah. Like, for me, that would appeal to me the most, because I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, it looks, you know, though. He does have the roast turkey on offer, but alongside with a beef Wellington or a beetroot Wellington, Julian.
Or both. Yeah, I love that. It's like, oh,
that's lovely.
Well, of course you do a Wellington at the Boot, wouldn't you?
Very good, Julian. Yeah. Very good. Very good.
I'm here all week.
Literally. So he's got the... can you take us through his menu?
So he's got the roast turkey, as you said, with a chestnut stuffing, which is nice. Back to the starters, it was salmon trio. I love salmon. And then the desserts are all sort of little gourmet type desserts. Like a traditional.
Oh, Christmas I like this. He's got a bit of a twist. He's got your Christmas your Christmas pudding, a chocolate style pudding, which you've got to have at Christmas. Or you can go for the grilled pineapple with cherry compote and citrus biscuit.
Grilled pineapple is really good. Did you ever have that? It's caramelized
good.
Flavors.
Yeah, I'm not normally into that
who don't
kind of
like
thing.
Cakes and sweets.
Yeah.
As I say, as I brought a panettone, but anyway.
With a little bit of chili on top.
And you feel like it's healthy because you're having fruit.
Exactly. Stick some rum in there as well. Flambe it. Delicious. Yeah. Cool. Okay, so that's the Christmas. What do you do for Christmas? Are you normally at home with the family?
Yeah, well, it's just me and my husband because we just kind of avoid traveling to Portugal and to Canada where sort of our parents are and sisters. So we just stay home and we just make a really nice gourmet thing. We usually get some nice quality meat from one of the butchers here. I'll always make a lasagna because that's sort of like,
course.
You know, my mom used to make a lasagna. So yeah, we just stay home. We don't do anything big at all.
Lovely.
Just relax. Yeah, stress-free.
Sounds good. Yeah. Thank you. Excellent. Now, you've bought us a little present here.
Yes.
Tell us about it.
It's a panettone and it's courtesy of Signorelli's Deli.
How kind. Yeah. Thank
you. Yes, very nice. You know, he's got the deli on Burley Street and the new location at the Piazza at the Grafton.
Which is looking like it's doing so well.
It's fantastic.
Well.
And he's got the panettone at both places. So as soon as you pass by the window or you go to the Piazza, it's like, oh, it's a sea of panettone.
Yeah.
Have you seen the Dolce & Gabbana one?
I have. I was in Grafton. I was doing Christmas shopping. I was just walking past La Piazza. I was very, very busy, but I literally stopped in my tracks when I saw that he had Dolce & Gabbana panettone on offer.
Yeah, I didn't check the price or anything. I've seen it before. The company that he's using is Fiasconaro, which is the one I bought. It's a Sicilian company. It's been around since the 50s. Mm-hmm. They're known for quality panettone. Mm-hmm. I got messages from people saying, like in Sicily, going, this is like the best.
This is the best one.
So he's got a sea of those. I brought the traditional one, which is basically raisins and candied citrus. This one's got candied orange, and it's got a bit of Sicilian wines in it. So it's got Marsala, which is a fortified wine, and it has a white grape Muscat variety called Zibibbo.
Ooh.
So it's got a bit of that. They're quite special. So that's the panettone. I think people pretty much know what panettone is. It's sweet bread-like cake. It's known for having the dome shape or the height.
Mm-hmm.
It's cooled upside down to keep the height. So there's actually, you know, and this is an artisan one, so it's quite nice. And there's a whole story about panettone. Why do we have panettone at Christmas?
Tell us, please, Pina.
Why do we have panettone at Christmas? Sorry.
Do you want, like, the old wives' tale about how panettone came about? Like, the fiction first?
Yes.
Just make it fun.
Yes, definitely.
Okay, so keep it short. So basically, there's a couple of old wives' tales. One is the name panettone comes from a poor baker named Tonio in Milan. Basically, panettone does come from Milan. So it's always some kind of Milan connection. So the poor baker named Tonio had a daughter who fell in love with a nobleman, and he felt very inferior and wanted to contribute something special to her dowry. So he created this recipe for panettone that everyone loved, and he became a success and rich and happily ever after. And so in honor of that, pane, which means bread in Italian. So pane di Tonio, panettone.
Yes.
That's one of the stories.
Love it.
Another
story
is sort of the same type of vein of rich and poor. So the Duke of Milan's chef was in charge of doing a dessert for a very important banquet, and he burned it. And it was ruined.
Mm-hmm.
So King Alfred style.
Yeah. So the scullery boy named Tony came to the rescue and said, I have this recipe that I just put some stuff together. It doesn't have fancy ingredients, but it's all nice. Put it together. So the chef agreed to do this humble recipe, and it was a huge hit. It was praised by all the aristocracy. And the chef, in gratitude of the little scullery boy named Tony, said, we're going to call it pane di Tony, panettone.
Love it.
Not true, but nice stories.
Okay.
Nice stories. And panettone has evolved over the years. So there is some talk about it in terms of history, how it dates back to the Roman Empire. Some sources state that it associated with Christmas in Milan as early as the 9th century. Hmm. But in terms of facts and in terms of evidence, there is a manuscript from Milan that mentioned panettone that was eaten specifically at Christmas in the 1470s.
The 1470s.
Yeah. So then fast forward to the early 1900s, which is probably what we know panettone now. A couple of companies developed the recipe, made it to what it is now, sort of that really high dome shape.
Yeah. Like the Pandoro one is very high. You know,
yeah. This one, the one that I brought in is not as high because it's a more traditional one. It's dense. When you taste it, you'll see it's actually quite rich and very flavorful. Mm. It's not sort of like a very like cakey.
Yeah.
So in the early 1900s, this couple of companies decided to develop this recipe, started competing against each other. They started producing it at an industrial scale. And I think a combination of clever marketing, expanded distribution networks, it became something that all the people in Milan had to have at Christmas, but not only in Milan, in Italy as well, and abroad. So it's just become something that people associate with having at Christmas and the holidays. Mm. I know I do. I just ended up buying like, I don't know, one or six of them and have them.
Are they easy to make if you wanted to do your own? Or is that something which is...
I think they're quite difficult.
Yeah. I'm going to say they're quite tricky little things to make.
So what makes it complicated? Is it the size, the height, or is it something about the ingredients which just doesn't work unless you've done... goodness knows how many of them first.
I think there's definitely some skill and a magic touch involved. And what I mentioned before is that to keep that height, they need to be cooled upside down.
Okay.
And I have seen pictures of, the more mass-produced ones. They actually have like systems where they're hanging off these rods. It's actually quite spectacular just to get that height so it doesn't collapse.
Mm.
I think that's the trick. So I think if you make it at home, it's something fun and whatever. But a lot of people say, I can't get it to be that fluffy or that high.
So an Italian household would go out and buy their panettone.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike the British household where... still, a number of people will make the Christmas cake, yes.
That's true, actually. I think, growing up Italian and of Italian origin, nobody ever made panettone.
No.
It's like you went out and bought it because, you couldn't be bothered. You were making other stuff,
No, yeah. we always made our Christmas cake all the way through. Even
do you still make a Christmas
now.
Cake?
I don't make one, although I have instructions to ice my mother's one. Which if she's listening, that will be happening.
It's interesting.
Once the election's out the way, I'll ice your cake then.
It's interesting how the Christmas cake is all the raisins and the dried fruits, and the panettone is very much similar. Actually,
yeah,
it's got the raisins, the candied fruit in it.
Yeah, the traditional one is, and I really like the fact that over the years the things have evolved. So the chocolate and pear one sounds amazing. I think I'm going to have to get that one.
Oh, that sounds good.
They have all kinds of with lemon or hazelnut.
Yeah, dad always buys me, my brother, my sister one for Christmas as a little present.
Nice.
It's not Christmas without our own panettone. And I, this year, have requested the limoncello one. Have you had that one?
I think I've had
it's
it in the
past.
It's
pretty good.
Yeah. And they got like cute little mini ones that you could put even as an ornament on your tree if you really wanted to.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much. We're feeling Christmassy now. I mean, we could play a Christmas song, but maybe not just yet, Julian. What do you think?
I don't know. I'm beginning to feel the urge, you know.
Yeah. Maybe we'll find a nice jazzy version of one, shall we?
I think we might need to do that. We'll hunt that out before we finish at one. Pina, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Have a lovely Christmas.
Lovely
we can start saying that to each other now.
Yeah, it seems strange, isn't it?
It does.
If you've got panettone, it's Christmas time, so we're good.
We're good. Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks so much. 22 after 11. Cambridge 105 Radio.